You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time, drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 20. Today's show is titled, Six Steps to Building the Best Company Culture. My name is Adam John. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Muriel. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. Just currently looking for some office space over here in the Philippines. It actually ties into this topic extremely well, into this podcast topic, that is. So also, I've been getting back into my routine recently, where in a previous episode, I referenced how we've shuffled around the operations team a little bit to move most of the tasks off my back. So I've actually been able to unlock quite a few more hours in a day. So I'm feeling pumped up, feeling rejuvenated, and everything seems to be going awesome. What about you, buddy?
Oh, beautiful. Sounds good. I'll be getting a new video camera in the mail any day soon, so we'll be looking forward to getting some videos for More Time, More Profit. A couple of good-looking roosters like us should be seen and not just heard, so everyone can expect some videos to be coming out in a few months' time.
Can't wait. It's something I've been excited for a long time.
Yeah, video is just the next level. You know, everyone pays attention to video, and if you're not doing video, it's something you really need to consider, so we'll be jumping on that wagon very heavily. So today we're talking about building the best company culture. And building the best company culture is the process of fine-tuning your personality of your company, making sure everyone in your company is motivated and that everyone is aligned and achieving the same common goal. As business owners, we have a lot of staff to deal with. We have different personalities, different goals in life, different cultural backgrounds, different sets of skills, different incomes, and different motives. And if we're not careful, they can all mix incorrectly and self-implode your company. Having a great culture ensures everyone is working towards the same cause. Everyone feels empowered and that they feel important. Everyone follows the same set of values. Everyone has a productive environment. Everyone knows their job and what's expected of them. And everyone is given the opportunity to bond. If you don't pay attention to planning your meetings, individuals will work towards their own agenda. People might not feel appreciated. Distrust might set in. They might not have the right surroundings to perform. There might be questions around what is expected, and they might not feel welcome in that environment. So let's look at an example of this, and we'll concentrate on Google here because last year they made $14 billion in profit, which isn't too shabby, and they get 5 job applications every minute. Now, why is Google such a desired location to go and work? I can tell you it's not because of the paycheck, because they don't actually get paid that much, but if you look at Google employees, they have cafes, coffee bars, open kitchen, gourmet cafeterias that serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. People get to spend 20% of time doing something they like outside of their actual role. And Google tries to break down barriers, encouraging creativity and collaboration. And you've probably all seen the video footage and the movies and the photos where they have beach volleyball courts, they have freestanding desks, and they just create a really fun environment. So when you look at Google, it just looks like a super fun place to work, and it attracts the best talent to go and work at the culture. And in today's episode, we'll take you through 6 steps to building the best company culture to get your business back on track.
Yeah, and I think that's really valuable to understand the concept of the people who are doing it amazing at the top, which is obviously your Googles, your Zappos, your Evernote, all those guys have got these awesome, awesome open offices that they just invest heavily. One part of that is to obviously get the best talent, but the second part is to retain the best talent. And having culture really ensures that you get the best people and hold on to them for as long as humanly possible, but also make sure that they're rejuvenated and motivated to obviously do the best work possible that they can. So we're going to go through a process that we've implemented ourselves in our previous businesses and currently what we're doing that's ensured that we're not spending as much as Google and all those big guys are for their culture, but trying to get the same results that they're getting. So if you've got any questions or you have any feedback during the show, jump onto Facebook or the website at www.moretimemoreprofit.com and ask any questions you have there.
Excellent. Grant, can you take us through the 6 steps to building the best company culture?
Sure can, buddy. So to ensure that you build the culture that is right for you, we'll run through some 6 steps in regards to building the best company culture. And they kind of summarize like this. So the first one you need to always have is a vision and mission. Second one is having the right people. Third one is empowerment of those individuals. Fourth one is the environment that the employees work in. Fifth one is the communication between all members. And the sixth one is team building, so building that team collaboration. So in a little bit more detail, I'll dive into each one of the 6. So if we look at the vision and mission, if you've ever heard of us listening to this, and it's probably the two topics that you and I evangelize the most, Adam, if you don't know what it is, go to episode 003, where we talk about fueling vision to skyrocket growth. And if you don't know about missions and you're looking to jump a little bit further into it, go to episode 4 or 004, which is success through missions. So in summary, they basically cover the company's long-term goals and what they aspire to become. So you really need to ensure that the business lives it every single day. We've seen businesses post them on walls, relate meetings to them, have meetings that share how they're coming closer to achieving those goals, etc. During all new employee orientations, as well as whilst they're employed, you should always focus on your visions and your missions of the company, because it is essentially the lifeblood of the business, and it's what gets people motivated and riled up to follow the cause. The second part is people. So you always need to have the right people who naturally fit to your culture. It's kind of like the square peg round hole situation. Companies like Zappos even do a psychology test where they ensure that the candidates would actually fit in to their culture. So they've had some of the best talent that they've ignored previously because they haven't fit within their psychological tests. A lot of the companies who strive for amazing cultures typically focus on these key areas, such as core values, personalities that are included in theirs, trustworthiness, high level of integrity, upholding honesty, etc., just to make sure that they're not trying to get someone else to change who they are just to fit the business. The third part is empowerment. Everyone has a voice that's listened to. So the boss, the management, or the entrepreneur is not always right. And an employee can voice or change the business's outcome. Their opinions don't just fall on deaf ears. So this includes acceptance of all types of individuals, right? So we don't care about their position or about their personality, their background, their race, their knowledge, etc. We just listen to everybody and collate all of the ideas together. The entire company will also respect everyone and their opinions, whilst always treating them fair and not having any favorites along the way. So it's really the core facet of making sure that everyone has the power to make decisions in the company. Part 4 is the environment. So this is where people usually start at when they think of culture, but it's usually the hardest and the most expensive part. So we're talking about the physical space. So employees having their own desk and a kind of a real sense of ownership of where they actually work day to day. They get positive engagement from all members around the company when they walk in the big doors. And it's a fun place to work. No one wants to come in and slog 9 to 5 hours. They want to have a little bit of good interaction and have a bit of fun. And also, everything in the office has a purpose. We don't just put things into the space to surround clutter. We always have a reason that something's there. Part 5 is the communications, where every conversation should not only occur when bad things happen. And I'm sure we've all seen businesses where entrepreneurs only talk to someone with bad news. And conversation and communication should always be regular. So we always evangelize daily toolboxes and daily pulse meetings, weekly KPI evaluations and customer interactions, and monthly company updates and strategic plans, etc. So the entire company should really be transparent with what they communicate and also discuss the impact that each individual has to that vision and mission of the company. And the sixth and final part is team building. So this is about bonding. We get the entire employees and entire team involved in different strategies, from events out of the office like day trips, Christmas parties, etc. Internal recurring training, where the team members actually facilitate trainings. External learning opportunities like seminars, or even team-based competitions like hackathons and footy tipping competitions and things like that. So just don't lose sight of the real reason we do team building, which is to create collaboration and really create a solid bond with the team members that we've got. There are many, many strategies that can be put under each of the above steps, and many businesses that we talk to do not get the fundamentals correct, and they just try and put on some fancy things they've heard. So that's what this podcast is all about, which is getting the right 6 fundamentals correct.
Awesome. And if you want the show notes from this podcast, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/020 for episode number 20.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years experience in outsourcing and 8 years experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So, can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct, and I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so they can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media and SEO, just to name a few. But have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems? Like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same Red Cartman VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way. The first week free. But honestly, bit of a nervous Nelly, and I'm still concerned is there going to be across the other side of the world.
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it? You do have faith in their ability. Look, what is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show. The More Time, More Profit podcast.
All right, Adam, let's jump into an example of where you have implemented a positive culture and supported the company in a physical sense. So not just an online team, but a physical team.
Absolutely. That's easy done. So this is specific to one company I've done. I follow the 6 steps across all of my companies. So jumping into point number one, we look at vision and mission. And we've talked about the importance of visions and missions before. When recruiting and running your business, you want everyone to know what you're working towards. Our vision here at More Time, More Profit is More Time, More Profit will never allow a business owner to fall short of achieving their vision. And our mission is we will do this by enabling 1 million business owners with more time, more profit through proven and easy follow training, frameworks and systems. So how do you think we're going meeting that vision and mission so far, buddy?
Yeah, 40 countries in 4 months ain't so bad.
It's not going too bad. I mean, we're pretty new to it all. We've got the podcast. We're getting all the kinks out of everything. We're getting our marketing going. We're starting to get some steam along this train. So look, we've sent out the visions and the missions of the company. We know where we're going towards and we know how we're going to get there. So outlining where we want to be and how we're going to get there are really important, not just for our company, but every company out there. And it's a part of this framework. If you jump into point number two, we're talking about people. So we're looking at core values, inclusion, trust, integrity, and honesty, etc. I'm a big fan of core values. People have trust, integrity, honesty. I guess most people look for that in their team, but there's no place for mercenaries or untrustworthy people in my companies. I can't stand it. Occasionally one will slip through the team, but they don't usually last long and they'll get found out pretty easily. The main thing is that they don't do damage to their current employees. And if you encourage your core values in your actual company through your culture, a lot of the time the staff will police themselves. So if someone's sitting down there doing work that they shouldn't be doing, or they're freelancing in your company time, or they're doing something really dodgy, a lot of people know that goes against the culture that is set among the company, and they'll actually police themselves. So they'll actually probably take it to management rather than management having to find it out themselves. And just remember, it only takes one bad apple to poison the entire barrel. So that means if you get a really bad staff member, they can be in the ear of everyone else. I mean, I remember telling people about this before. I had one really bad staff member poison my entire team. We're going around and telling everyone about how much people were making for their KPIs, and they were making more than us, and how much the company was making. And they were in the ear of these people, and they were just really poisoning the team, trying to get a bit of a revolution and a bit of an uprise, and we got rid of that person and everything was back to normal. So it's really important to have that as part of your culture. Point number three, we're going to jump into empowerment. So voice, acceptance, respect, fairness, and decision-making. Everyone needs to feel really welcomed into your team. So whenever I have a company, we make sure it's the number one place that people want to come to every day. Make sure they feel respected. We're all working towards the same vision, so there's zero tolerance in my companies for hazing, jealousy, jealousy or bullying. I know that in other different areas, it's good to take on an apprentice or a junior and absolutely treat them terrible and make them feel terrible until they pay their dues and earn their stripes. That is not something that we get in our culture. Everyone has a specific job and everyone should feel encouraged to come to work every day. I encourage people to voice their opinion, first to their manager, but if they have a problem with their manager and there's a conflict of interest, then they can go to their office manager. And at the very worst, I have an open door policy with myself where they can come to me and discuss any problems they have. Now, no one really wants to bother me and they don't really use it, but it's nice for them to have that option. And when they go home at night and they say to their partners, look, I can go talk to the boss about any problems that I'm having, it makes them feel really good and they can sleep very easily at night. I also like to have a Dropbox for ideas where staff can just go in anonymously and put ideas into that box so they don't actually put their name on it. Sometimes I can tell their handwriting and things like that, but they can put any ideas that they want in there, anything that they're too embarrassed to come up with, and we will address those because what's important to the team is important to us as a company. I've worked for companies before and they've had great ideas and I've taken them to management and it's just fallen on deaf ears. It really makes you feel like your company doesn't care about you, and if your company doesn't care about you, then why am I going to care about them? If someone's sitting there saying, well, you know, what's the point of me coming up with a new process or a new idea or a new product because they're not going to listen to me anyway, what's the point? I'm just going to come to work, I'm just going to get my paycheck, I'm going to clock out at 5 o'clock and I'm not really going to care. That is not the environment that you want to do. And if we can make more money and speed things up through staff suggestions, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think something that I add to that is I always write down the individual's initials next to all of their ideas. So I never walk into a meeting without a moleskin and I always write down all the ideas and I just put the team members' initials next to it because when we actually go and implement something that they've suggested, I always call them out for saying, you were the one that came up with this idea and look at it now. So they always have this sense of ownership, even though they weren't the one who built it or deployed it or did anything like that. They know that without them making that suggestion, it wouldn't have come to fruition.
Yeah, that's cool. And you can call them on their BS as well. If they're client foul, you can say, look, we introduced your idea before and you haven't done anything about it. So I like that as well. But one thing I would say with your note taking, get your secretary to do it, buddy.
Yeah, I'm the most good-looking person in the office, so it has to be me, though.
There you go. Point number four, we're going to jump into the environment. So we're looking at the physical space, employment space, positive engagement, and fun. I encourage staff to feel at home in their workspace, making sure they have everything required to do their job. So this includes the right computer, software, desk, etc. I also like it when people decorate their own space. It gives them a sense of individuality. Some of the workstations I've seen in my company are crazy. They go crazy with figurines. They've got pictures where they want to go on holidays, family, everything along those lines. I like to make sure they have a nice tea room, staff facilities, somewhere where they can just chill outside of their actual cubicle. Make sure they've got coffee facilities, heating facilities, microwaves for their food so they can go out there on lunchtime. I don't really like people sitting there at their desk too much. I like them to get out of the actual office. And they can bond with other people over a cup of tea or their lunch. I also like to encourage fun within my companies. You know, there's always people throwing things around the room. I have someone in charge of my music, my in-house office DJ. He's the best. He's actually a very smart man. He knows all the songs that I like. So if I walk in the door, he'll play the songs that I like, put me in a great mood. Everyone has a bit of a chuckle when he plays the music. And sometimes, you know, we'll get some crazy music. Like we'll be just sitting there listening to Snoop Dogg and the next song that comes on will be Dora the Explorer. So it's the funniest day of your life. You know, if you've got a massive deadline or you've got a whole bunch of clients you need to service and something like Dora the Explorer comes on over the sound waves, it just makes you stop and think and just appreciate, you know, everything's not that bad. We're going to have some fun here today and it just lightens the mood a little bit, which is great.
Yeah, I think to add to that point, like we do something very similar where we always want people to get out of the office. And so we encourage it by even every Friday we go and take the whole team out to go out for lunch. So, and that's every single week, every single Friday to ensure that they all collaborate outside of the office. And to your point about the computers, the number one best thing I think I've ever done from a cultural point of view was throw out all of our old PCs and bring in brand new Macs. I've never heard one person talk about speed problems, and I've never heard one person talk about anything crashing before. So morale goes through the roof because I used to have emails consistently about how slow everything was and it was impacting their work. So even just those little things that don't actually seem like they're going to make any big impact really do.
Yeah, I love that. And you just have to do the sums, you know, how much does it cost for a new bunch of Macs versus the productivity and the morale that's lost by not having them. So I think that's a great calculation to do. Point number five, we're looking at communication, so transparency, responsibility, strategic planning, and accountability. Transparency is really important to employees, and I'm also very cautious to make sure that once the decisions are made from the top down, that everyone is briefed. You can't get to the finish line if people don't know where the finish line is. While it's nice to have the mention above, fun, everything like that, we're really here for business, so everyone has to have their accountabilities and their responsibilities. This is one thing I noticed. I did a lot of my training at Google head office in Sydney in Australia, and while it was all fun and games and they had Xboxes and they had all these fun things to do, there was a serious underlining tone of pure performance there. So with a lot of these companies, you'll see them on the TV show Silicon Valley, you know, they'll have all the latest technology, all the latest cafeterias and things like that. But at the end of the day, that needs to be paid for by somewhere, and that means having the best staff absolutely performing. You can't go into these offices and sit down and play Xbox all day. It's just not the way it works. So make sure that if you have all of these fun things, everyone has their accountabilities and their responsibilities, their KPIs, everything put in place to be able to perform, to be able to pay for those facilities. Point number six, which is the last point, we're going to jump into team building, bonding, events out of the office, recurring training, and teamwork. I absolutely love team building. It helps create a bond outside the office. We've historically done activities like lunches, golf days, karaoke, trips to the horse races, Christmas parties, bowling. The possibilities are endless, and it's nice for departments to mix. So you get a sales guy, he mixes with the customer service guy. You get the accounting guys, they mix with the account management guys. It just helps bond everyone together, and it just helps create a bit of a culture that way.
Right, and I love it, because everything that you just run through, I've talked to some of your previous team members, and they always talk about working with you, and they still bring up that Dora the Explorer song, to be honest. So I talked to two of them, a couple of years ago, and yeah, they always having a good chuckle about how much it makes you laugh. And so I think that that underlying to itself just explains how good of a culture that you were able to build in your offices.
Yeah, and you think about how easy it is for recruiting for us, right? We don't have to post on job boards because everyone wants to come and work with us. You look at Google, they get 5 resumes a minute every hour of the day, 7 days a week. So people are actually lining up to come and work for you. And if you looked at our other podcast where we're talking about the high recruitment costs for not retaining staff, you can see that you save so much money.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, mate.
Awesome. So that's my example, and I know you're a little bit more structured in your answers, so we'll jump into yours, which I believe is going to be an online example. Can you take us through how you manage your culture when you're running your online team?
Yeah, look, so those of you who may or may not know my backstory, I used to have an online digital marketing agency where everyone was virtual to the company. As a preface, if I had a choice between a physical or an online team, every day of the week I would choose a physical team. The interaction is faster, the trainings are easier, you can learn from your team's personalities, and a lot more happens within a shorter space, where online you usually have to wait or try and get involved, and you can't really interact and see everything. But at sometimes we really don't have a choice. So knowing this, for those of you with an online team, I'll run through how I managed 20 plus employees when I had my first marketing company. So, but before I jump into everything, I just want to say creating a culture is extremely easy, but maintaining and adapting it to the growth of your business is really the hardest part. So bringing in a new computer or going out for lunch or doing a couple of these things is really easy, but making sure that that's consistent and so that your employees always know that that is the expectation that they have to deliver to, that's the hardest part, is because we always get busy, we always get bored, we always don't want to do the same things over and over again. But that consistency is what drives some of the best cultures in the world.
Yeah, I think the important thing is to have your finger on the pulse as well, because what you think might be a great culture for the team, it might not suit them. So you might say, look, getting us all new computers, they'll make them really happy and really productive, whereas they might just want healthcare or something along those lines. So got to have your finger on the pulse to make sure that what you're implementing is exactly what motivates them.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So without further ado, let's jump into it. So point one is vision and mission. So we had our vision, which was to be Australia's premier SEO provider at that time at an affordable rate, because we were obviously using offshore staff. Our mission was to show the industry that SEO could be affordable as long as you knew what your team was working on. So there were a lot of cheap agencies that were doing very bad work, and there were a lot of very expensive doing very good work. We wanted to be the affordable but great team. So every time that anything happened in the business, the managers and I would repeat this. A new process would come out, we'll talk about exactly how it helps us achieve our vision. A new marketing campaign would be released, and it would talk about how it will help us hit our mission. A new client would come on board, would celebrate it, knowing we were one step closer to our vision. So it was always in the lifeblood of everything that we were doing. In the online world, you don't really have walls to post your vision and mission on, so we had it displayed on every team member's online dashboard. So when they log in every day, they would go and see it. It would talk about our vision, our mission, and what we stand for as a company, and they would be forced to consistently see it about 10 to 20 times a day because they'd always have to come back to this dashboard after breaks, after finishing a process, etc. In addition to that, our welcome pack to all new employees had an entire page dedicated to our vision and mission, and there was also not one person who didn't know it off the top of their head. They couldn't always remember the exact wording, but they could always reference it and talk about what it means. We found that this was so valuable because everyone would go and talk to all of their friends about what they're doing and really the end goal that they're trying to achieve. It's nothing worse than someone saying, I go and build links and that's it. It's always, we are trying to become the premier with this and this is why I'm working so hard. Part two is the people. So admittedly, I didn't do this as well as I probably could have. And if I had my time again, I'd do it very different. So we hired very smart and capable managers and people who could create and build the processes internally. And then we filled below them people with very basic knowledge. So fresh graduates, call center staff, people who really hadn't got out there and done too much, but were really able to read a process and deliver to it. The reason for it was that it was very cost effective and we could upskill people very quickly. But the problem was that the business didn't really see profit in 3 months and they were never going to drive really top level strategic improvements, meaning that they were just doing a process to get it done as opposed to adding value to the business. We implemented the marketing strategy to find the best people as well to make sure that we bring in the correct people. And we also tracked what their personal goals and aspirations were at the point of the interview and reviewed them with the individual every 3 months. So someone really wants to go on a family holiday and every time we do a 90-day review, we'll always talk about how they're getting closer to that, if they've planned it and things like that. Also, to be in line with the MTMP framework, More Time, More Profit framework, we should have done a couple of specific interviews focused on testing their integrity, running through some scenarios to review their core values, also quizzes that might review their honesty and other items. This would have allowed us to build not only a smart team, but with people who match who we were and what we were driving for.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point because I remember we're running pretty much exactly the same company at exactly the same time, and I would go out and I would hire qualified people that are already trained, and then you would probably go for the people with probably a better university background and you'd train them up yourselves. Now, I think that if you have everyone coming out of university, you're not going to actually progress. I had a lot of people in my team that would come to me with a lot of bad habits. So, you know, what's your thought on that in terms of the mix? How are you hiring now? Are you getting a lot of fresh grads, training them up from your managers that are skilled in the area, or actually hiring people that have the skills already?
Yeah, this is a really tough question that I always battle myself with. So there are positions in the company that we will get fresh graduates or people who have had 1 or 2 years experience only because it is something that is unique to us in regards to how we deliver it. So with the project management company, a lot of seasoned project managers have really bad habits that we don't want. And to try and teach an old dog new tricks is really tough. However, that would add a lot of value because they can relate to clients. So when helping us with the system and building out a whole heap of the internal processes, they're the people that we want. But from an evaluation of clients' projects and things like that, we want someone who's a clean slate. We want to show them the right way and the right way once. We don't want them to second question our entire company process.
Yeah, one of the best very pieces of advice I had, I used to work on a sailing boat. I might have told this story before. And I went and worked there. I said, look, I've never worked on a sailing boat before. And he said, that's fantastic because I can teach you my way to do things rather than you coming in and telling me how to run my boat. So I think that's probably a great piece of advice that I got in my early days.
Yeah, so I think there's horses for courses. I would suggest that 60, 70% of our company is people who have already done it and know how to do it and things. But then there's that 30% who we really focus on, a fresh slate or a new piece of clay.
Yeah, I love that, especially for your managers, of course. They'll have to be well-trained. And then you can bring in your data entry people and your lower-level people that have great university degrees and can be molded the way that you want to mold them. So I think that's a great mix.
Exactly. And we found it to be quite effective at the moment. So moving on to step three, empowerment. So depending on the cultural or location of your team, this can be actually quite hard to get employees' buy-ins. As an example, Filipinos naturally do not want to voice their opinion, as is not a cultural trait they have. They don't want to step on their boss's feet, and culturally, the boss is always right. We forced this to an extent by running meetings where there were specific items that every team member had to bring their ideas. The rules were that they must provide at least one idea each, And no ideas can be duplicate. So we always tell them to bring two or three because someone's probably going to mention an idea that they've already brought up. This was also demonstrated by upper management by asking every team member's opinion and input on many of their key meetings. We also supported this by sharing a screen and documenting every suggestion, meaning that we'd put the screen up on the projector or on the screen. So we're either doing video recording or sharing or just a live Google Hangout. And we didn't reject any ideas. We wrote every idea down and every single person's opinion would be treated the same, irrelevant of how silly it was. In addition to that, every single person in the company could impact a process, a decision, a product, or anything. In a note to that, we also had a KPI for every employee where if they could make 10 process improvement suggestions every single month, there was a bonus that they could get as well. So they were always pushing for that empowerment to know that they were always going to be listened to and always going to be implemented on. Point four, which is the environment. So there is a lot you can do with an online team. Don't listen to what other people say that it's something you can't do. It's full of it. So we did quite a bit to ensure that people have the right environment. We pay for their health insurance so that if they got really busy and stressed and then they got sick, which is inevitable, they were not out of pocket and we were always looking after them. We gave an allowance for them to set up their desks with sticky notes and pens because we want their home office to feel like they're in a real office. We also set up their own processes, their own custom email, their own signature, everything so that they had a sense of fulfillment. We then got a personalized welcome from the entire team for them. We then did orientation to the business and how they as an individual would add value, just as if you were walking them through the office. We did the same one-on-one. We then also did a video meeting, not just voice, to ensure that they create a sense of belonging. So we would always do our daily meetings and our weekly meetings and would always use a video rather than just voice. We need to see people's engagement and we also want everyone to realize they're part of a bigger team. Other ideas that we were going to implement was we were going to introduce welcome packs with cups, notepads, pens, polos, etc. with our branding. We were also going to do a pre-recorded welcome and introduction video talking about our products, hello from other team members, etc. and starting to do a little bit of football betting or sports betting for different occasions. So if a pack our fight for Philippines came on or the AFL grand final came on, we'll do something around that. You can always create a physical office culture with online team, but you just need to make it feel as though they're in their own type of physical office. Point five, communications. This is where we excel above a lot of other businesses as we have great communication. Our meeting schedule is basically as follows. So every day we do a toolbox with every team. Then we have a touch base with just the top management people. So I'll do a meeting with the top management and I'll just dial into each team weekly. The managers would then touch base with each individual team member to review their KPIs and how they're going to hit success. Would then look at their bigger customers and have calls with them and touch base every week. And the top management has a call with the business scorecard. So they always have to show and present their team's KPIs in relation to the business scorecard. Once a month, we'll do a company-wide discussion around the business's success and how it's progressed. And every 3 months or 90 days, I would have a personal one-on-one with every team member. We would then review the KPI success of the business and adjust it accordingly, and also re-strategize based on the adaption of the business. So we were completely transparent with the success of the business. Everyone knew their responsibilities and their accountabilities, and all the team members were very, very engaged. And the last point, which is point six, which is team building. This can be very hard when everyone is in a different country and city as well. So you really do just need to adjust and work within what strengths you've got. So we always tried to have at least two or three people in the same city or near enough to the same location. So instead of us going with team events, we would fund their little getaway together. So they'd have pods of two or three people who can go to a cafe, go out for dinner, go out for bowling together. We'd also then purchase online training courses and would subscribe to lynda.com and assign at least 2 hours a week for them to do some training improvements. So right now in the project management, I think everyone's doing about 3 hours a week, but we'd always ensure that everyone always does 2 hours because the more they learn, the more the business improves. And if we were ever to have an online team again, we would look at doing celebrations online and trainings together, having a video play and then having a Google Hangout of everyone talking about what they're learning through that training video and everything like that. So there are a lot more ideas that we could have improved on. In saying all of the improvements that I would do and I would change, the team worked great. We had a fantastic dynamic and I flew over to see the team and those who left always, always asked if they could come back when their opportunity always ended. So all in all, what we did implement did work quite effective.
Yeah, I love that. And in this day and age with virtual assistants and virtual offices and everything along those lines, it's just the way that business is going. I've had people that work for large call centers here in Australia and the actual call centers put a home phone line into their actual house and tell them to work from home if they like, because it's actually cheaper for the company. We're getting into the world of virtual reality. I had a friend or a colleague who went to the Stanford virtual reality labs in the US, and they were talking about how boardroom meetings are all going to be done by VR goggles, and you won't actually have to physically go into the office anymore. So I love that example where people are just like, well, I've got 20 employees and then I've got 5 employees that are virtual in different countries. How can we get those guys involved with the company culture and make them feel a part of us? And I think you've outlined exactly how to be able to do that.
Exactly. So now, as a timestamp, I'm going to say everyone go and buy houses on the far coasts, because everyone's going to be location independent very soon.
Sea change. Woohoo! Grant, can you quickly walk us through the summary for the 6 steps of building the best company culture, and we'll wrap this puppy up.
Would be my pleasure. So step 1, vision and mission. Your business must have a vision and mission that is being worked towards and consistently referred to internally and is understood by everyone. Part 2 is people. You need to have the right people who naturally fit into your culture, meaning they fit in your core values, are trustworthy, have a high level of integrity, and uphold honesty. The third part is empowerment. Every employee has a voice that is listened to and can influence decisions in the business, no matter their background, personality, experience, or knowledge. 4 is environment. Employees have their own sense of ownership, and they have a positive and fun workplace, which supports them achieving their career goals. Part 5 is communication. So employees must have regular scheduled interactions with management, which is transparent and aligned to the business desired outcomes, as well as their responsibilities and accountabilities. And part 6 is team building. You must have a team that looks out for each other like a family and supports this through out-of-office events, employee trainings, external trainings, and even team-based competitions.
Awesome. And to download all the amazing examples, brilliant frameworks, and wrap-up points from today's episode, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/020 for episode number 20.
That's right. Don't forget to download all of the points so that you can print off the worksheet, work through it yourself, and implement some of the best culture that your team has ever seen.
We'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. So go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit group and join in the conversation there with us.
Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and give us a review based on what you think of our podcast.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real life business strategies.